Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The preacher said he was going to talk about the antediluvian world. And somebody said, well, what kind of world is that? Well, the word antediluvian simply means before the great flood in the days of Noah. It has reference to that period of time between the creation and that flood that is recorded in the book of Genesis. Now, we know that the Bible is not primarily a history book, but it does speak of historical things, and with a great deal of accuracy, of course. But like most any other period of history, when we look at this antediluvian period, we find good things and we find evil things. But we need to note some of the characteristics of mankind in that age as the Bible reveals them. Now, contrary to the assertions of evolutionists, the early man was not more animal than human. He was not a savage. He was not a wild man. So often we're provided the hypothetical and imaginative pictures and drawings from unbelievers regarding the early appearance of man, and man is made to appear little more than an animal, not really human. But the Bible says man was created an intelligent, sane, complete creature. Atheistic or theistic evolution, either one, denies the scripture. And there's absolutely no harmony between the scripture and that fallacious theory of organic evolution. Now, when God created man, he made man superior to everything of his creation and gave him superiority over all things. Man was created in the spiritual image of God. Full grown, he had talents and abilities and intelligence and capacities and knowledge. And even before the flood, man had attained considerable skills and a high degree of civilization. Now, men were herdsmen, like Jabal, the father of tent dwellers, and those that had cattle. There were musicians, like Jubal, the father of all who handled the harp and the pipe. There were metallurgists, workers of metal, like Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every kind of brass and iron. There were builders, like Cain, who built a city. He named it Enoch after his son. Farmers existed, and even Adam knew how to till the earth and make his livelihood therefrom. There are manifold evidences showing that the early man, before the flood, to be a very highly skilled, civilized man with knowledge and ability. Certainly Noah had to have great abilities sufficient to follow God's instructions to build the ark. Certainly mankind was not as mechanized as we have today. But there are many things that have been learned and discovered through the centuries, of course, of man's existence. But to think that our ancestors were mere animals, they were savages, more like apes, beasts of the field, without any refinement, no culture, no such things as that, why, that's to degrade the race with nonsense. Our earliest foreparents could speak, they could communicate, not just grunt, and not just act silly to convey their intents and their messages, as sometimes the atheists would lead us to believe, that is, those who prefer to follow their own way rather than the ways of God. Characteristic of this antediluvian period, friend, was the longevity of life. The Bible says Adam lived 930 years. Seth lived 912 years. We read of Methuselah, who lived 969 years. That's the longest life, at least, that's recorded. Some have contended that such was not possible. Why was it not possible? Is it just because it doesn't occur now? Friend, all things are possible with God. There is no reason to consider these long periods of life to be anything except literal designations of the time these people lived. God's word, it's been verified, confirmed, proven. It tells us how long they lived. And we prove ourselves fools when we try to show that God is ignorant and he didn't know as much as we think we know now. We do not profess to know why God allowed these people to live so long. But, friend, that does not matter at all. He may have wanted it to live long so as to populate the earth. That's what happened anyway. The world then may not have been as infected with disease either. It may have been to expand civilization. Well, whatever of that, that doesn't matter. We do not attempt to second-guess God. We believe His Word. Now, there are those who are always so anxious to appease and to compromise with the skeptic and to contend that the years really only meant months. Why, this would make Methuselah, you see, only about 80 years old, which is more than more to their human reasoning. But if that's true, then the man named Jared was only 5 months old when he fathered a child. He fathered a child as 6 to 5. Well, if years mean months, he was only 5 months old. Doesn't this reduce this attempted compromise to an absurdity? When there's no reason to relegate biblical statements to the symbolic and the figurative, we ought not try to do that. The word injustice is an attempt to simply show that you are wiser than God. As usual, man's rationalization of what he does not understand, it produces more complications and problems than ever before. True enough, people do not live as long as before the flood. But what changes in the world's environment were produced by the flood, or what changes God may have instigated then, that remains unknown, and that is of no concern to us whatsoever. But the antediluvian period, it's well known for its sinfulness. The first sin, of course, was in the Garden of Eden, by Adam and Eve in disobedience to God. And we read of Cain's murder of his brother Abel, resulting from his jealousy and from his envy. We read of the presumptuousness of Cain in his worship. He did what he wanted to do rather than what God instructed. And we read of the ever-growing rebellion by mankind against God, with lies, the neglect of personal responsibility, polygamy, immorality of various forms, idolatry, evil marriages, until the Scripture records that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, once the floodgate of sin was open, the devastation of sin and the weakness of man to resist temptation plunged man into spiritual and physical ruin. Now and again, we read of noblemen of that period. There were not very many of them, but some are mentioned. For instance, like the man Enoch, it says he walked with God. There was also this man Noah, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But these men are exceptions to this particular wicked period of human history. And we read about a man named Lamech. Lamech was the first man to be recorded to violate God's intent concerning marriage. He took unto himself two wives, Genesis chapter 4. And the result of all of these transgressions was simply this. It repented God that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Genesis chapter 6. You see, God had created man so that man might bring glory to God. And what did man do? Man turned his life, his world, into an abomination of sin in service to the devil. In Genesis chapter 6, it tells us that the earth was filled with violence. Now, this certainly contributed to the necessity of destruction, of the magnitude of wickedness before the flood. Man's misuse of power and his exploitation of his blessings, it made violence commonplace. The extent of this evil is described in Genesis 6 and 5, as we have just read. It is beyond ability to adequately picture the corrupt society, not in part, but the whole, with a few minor exceptions. And when God saw the situation, God warned the antediluvian world. Although they were wicked, they were undeserving, they were sinful, God was concerned for them as he has always been concerned for the souls of people. Sacred history records their punishment, but not without having opportunity to repent. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5. He was described as a perfect man. That doesn't mean without any fault, but he was blameless, he was without reproach, he was whole, he was complete, he was mature before God. And through Noah the Spirit of God did strive with man. Hebrews chapter 11 says that Noah condemned the world, warning of the destruction impending due to sin. And the indications are that this man of faith spent 120 years warning his fellow human beings of God's wrath, but to no avail, except for his own family. Yes, God was long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish. But, friend, in the antediluvian world, there came a time when the long-suffering of God expired, and he ceased his persuasion through Noah. He executed his justice and his wrath against the wicked generations in the form of the flood. And during this antediluvian period, there was worship of God through sacrifices and altars and other activities, but they were not done as they ought to have been done. Some, of course, did what they did by faith, and that indicates that God's word was given them because faith comes by hearing the word of God. But worship has characterized every period of human history. At no time has God left men without instructions how to worship him. Unfortunately, in the antediluvian world and throughout history, it shows that so many people pay so little attention to what God wants, preferring to do what they want. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, it teaches that Noah was saved by water. Having heard God's warning and being given God's instructions concerning the ark, obeying God and what God told him to do, he was saved by water. Peter said, "The like figure whereunto baptism also doth now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Why is it that some men say baptism has nothing to do with salvation? Was the Apostle Peter misled by the Holy Spirit when he said, "Baptism doth now also save us"? And baptism involves water. That's obvious because water here was not the washing of the body. It was where we meet the blood of Christ, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. The earth and all that is therein, it's going to be destroyed again, but not by water. God promised that there would not be another flood. If the flood had just been a local flood, of course, that's been violated many times. But this was not just a local flood. This was a universal flood. It covered the entire earth. And next time, God will destroy the earth by fire, 2 Peter chapter 3. That is inevitable. God has predetermined it. Friend, are you ready for that day to come? Without warning and at a time we cannot know in advance, the end will come. There will be the resurrection, and there will be the judgment, and there will be the entrance into our eternal domain. It will either be heaven or it will be hell. Are you ready for that day to come? You will be ready if you are in Christ. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism will put you into Christ, and all will be well when the end comes. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.